Today's show is brought to you by the letter Aw. It's the news, according to me. Aw. Aw. That's too bad. Aw. How cute. It's just such a... It's so pathetic. It's so cute. It's pathetic. It's pathetic. It's cute. I don't know. Hey, good morning. It's Monday, June 9th, 8:17 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. And I'm here with you. I'm here on a regular show. Get these numbers back up again. I had a live show Friday just for 20 minutes. Did the show from my iPad in Virginia. I was in Virginia, Harrisonburg, Virginia. I did a show there. It was, I don't know. I only posted it on Podbean, which I don't get statistics as well on Podbean as I do on this when I post things on, it's more reflective on podcast, or what is it? Castos, that's what it's called. The problem with it is I have, it only registers a percentage, whereas on Podbean, it reaches more people, but it's just different. It's just, so I did a live show on there and it was just for like 20 minutes. Just had a couple things to say. To talk about a little bit, but we'll get into that as time goes on. I am your host, Kevin. I want to say right off the top here, anybody that I talk about is only alleged to be guilty. No one's actually, you know, until they're convicted in the court of law. I'm not a doctor. I'm not a lawyer. I'm not a financial counselor. I just have a lot of opinions, and this is a show about my opinions. So there you go. That's what this is all about. There's just so much going on right now. Of course, they're all trying to take away from other things that are going on. It's always the news cycle. Always, you know, two weeks into a news cycle, you're on totally different subjects. Typically, unless the left just can't get away from it. Some of the things that they say, and of course, the first thing they want to talk about is what's in my cup. I have again regular chai, my mixture of chai, Pacific chai and Big Train chai. They're both vanilla chai. The Pacific chai is a little bit more spicy than the Big Train is just all creamy chai, which is chai just means tea, but it's just a different kind of certain kind of tea. And the my backup cup is sweet tea with peaches, homemade sweet peach tea. It's just good stuff. It's good stuff. So. In the meantime, we have, what else do we have going on here? We have a lot of things going on in the news. Let's just jump right into it. These poor Democrats, the leftist media, they really abuse their audiences, in my opinion. They lead them down these paths of, and then they try to correct, you know, before they hit the ground with reality. They try to make the landing softer by, you know, I don't know, they're spinning some kind of story to make it sound like it's not what it was, what it is. We never said that. That's their new thing now. Well, we never said anything about that. We never stuck up for that. We never. No one on the left is saying this. Oh, really? I bet I can find somebody on the left. I bet I can find somebody on the right saying that. I bet I can find somebody on the left or the right saying that. Somebody is out there saying something. There's 300 million people, and you're saying nobody saying that. In other words, what you're saying is, oh, yeah, I hope nobody's saying that. I hope you don't remember us. I hope there's nothing on recording of anybody saying that. Of course, then you pull out the receipts with the recordings, and then they say, well, that's not what we meant. That was a different, oh, that's just some, oh, well, that's that was last week. This is constant with them. It's constant with them. In fact, tomorrow's show, one of the topics, the main topic tomorrow on Topical Tuesday, this is Mishmash Monday. Tomorrow's main topic, which I will have the dogs back. This morning I have no dogs. I have no dogs, no cats here at the house. Got in late last night back from our trip to Virginia to watch my nephew graduate. And it was pretty cool. He was the... Everybody cheered. Now all the families kind of cheer for each individual that goes across the stage, whatever. And I can tell some of this kid. Everybody cheered when this he was one of the last ones because of his name. It was all alphabetical order, but yeah, it's pretty special. And it's pretty special graduating class that they were able to have that kind of a person in their graduating class. So it was a very, their class reunions are going to be very special, I think, in my opinion. But it's very cool to see all those kids. Anyway, I got home late last night. We got in this morning. I have no dogs. We're going to pick them up this morning sometime. Of course, you have to pick up the cats too, because you know what's, you know, the dogs don't want to just walk around here without cats to chase around. So you have to keep the drama level on the high side. But I don't know, the cats, we might want to call the cats and see if they want to stay another day. I just we need me to find that out. I just in case. No, I do miss the cats. Contrary to what my wife believes, I do like both cats. The one cat is very sweet and cuddly and likes to snuggle up with me. You know, it's just kind of fun. She's got really sharp claws though, so when she wants to play, you got to watch those, because they'll just slice you in half. However, the male cat, he's like 20, almost 20 pounds. He's probably 18 pounds. He's a big cat, and he gets feisty, and he can, he's an awesome cat. He's good mouser, but he's a lot of fun to play with. Problem is he doesn't get to play enough, I don't think. And that's kind of one of his frustrations, but he doesn't really get along well with. He gets along okay with the dogs, because he can kind of hold his own, but he drives the dogs nuts because he likes to run around up there and play. That's part of his game, is he likes to run around and have them chase him. Yeah, so that's always interesting. Anyway, I like them. I like them both. He doesn't get along with the cuddly cat very well either. I know she would be happy to get along with him, but he doesn't get along with her. So anyway, he will eventually. I mean, he'll come around. He's to mature a little bit. Just a kid. So anyway, the puppy and the older dog are still at their little facility. I can't wait to pick them up in some ways, and yet in other ways, it's like that's when life changes, because then you got, you know, every time you move in the house, the entourage goes with you. And the barking and all the other stuff that happens. So anyway, I have a couple things to talk about today. A lot of things in the news cycle. Of course, there's the big, we'll talk a little bit about the whole Elon Musk and the Donald Trump feud that now is going on, and everything that happened in between there, and all the things that Elon has said in the meantime. It's the way both of them have handled this whole fallout. It's been very interesting. If you want to talk about who has taken the high road and who has come out of this looking like the mature adult in the room, we'll get into that. Kilmer Owego, I think is the way he pronounces his name, the guy who was the Maryland Man, otherwise known as the Maryland Man, who's just his father. They show these pictures of him as a young kid. They show these pictures of him as holding his daughter. This just looks like a father. It's just a father, Maryland father. His wife is devastated that he's been ripped out of her life. Started a GoFundMe for her to help her. Of course, that's her big grift right now. She's making all kinds of money at that. She hopes he'll never come back, and then she finds out he's coming back. Oh, all of a sudden he's coming back, and the Democrats, they were going down there telling I heard one lawyer, I'm not a lawyer, but I heard this one lawyer talking about this whole thing. He said, now see, his lawyers are the ones that screwed this whole thing up. They first of all, he was deported, accidentally sent to, they found this little mistake that was made by sending him back to, I think it was El Salvador. And he, which is where he's from. But he wasn't supposed to get deported there. He was supposed to get deported somewhere else, I think, or something. I don't know what the whole thing was, but apparently he got deported accidentally to the wrong place. Deported nonetheless, as he was supposed to be. But this whole thing was, because he had deportation orders back from 2019, I think, or 2018. And so they just hadn't been enforced yet. Of course, that's when he claimed asylum. And you can't just... This is the loophole that the Democrats love. Oh, just claim asylum, and then we'll put you on a court date. Of course, we get overwhelmed. They can't get a court date for years. So what are you going to do? Then the person, well, no, I'm here. I've got a family. You can't just separate me from my family. I've got children here now. That's the whole plan. That's their whole plan. And get them through a voting cycle, of course. So we have the problem with this is now all of a sudden we find out that he was very quiet. It was done very quietly. But all of a sudden he's back in the country. And the Dems are just elated. Oh, we won. Trump's a loser. This is exactly the way. I want to have you listen to this, because it's important to realize this is the kind of hysteria. People are so hysterical. And this is a young girl. She looks like she's in her teens still. I don't know. She could be 20 years old, I guess. And she's just going, I think I've got all the bad language bleeped out of this thing, because but she's like over the top hysterically happy about this thing. Practically crying. And Trump is such a loser. Trump is such a loser. Trump can't win. He hasn't won anything since November, which apparently she's completely just ensconced in CNN and MSNBC. I mean, mostly probably MSNBC, because she doesn't listen to anything else, or maybe she just listens to TikTok. But she posts this thing, and of course, first of all, you can't tell. I guess there's something kind of thing like a mask that people can put on it's like a normal mask that just enhances your looks. This lady's, her eyebrows are like an inch thick or an inch wide, I guess. I don't know. They're obviously drawn on, and I don't understand that whole concept of how that works, but it's just stuff like that kind of, I don't know why I noticed stuff like that. It's just kind of weird. It's not natural. You don't shave off your eyebrows and then, whatever, draw them back off. It's just weird. So those aren't natural, because these aren't natural eyebrows. They're not her eyebrows. She probably looks like a freak without her makeup on. But anyway, of course she's got her hat on backwards. She's out on the beach. She's obviously a person who is really, down for the struggle. This is a person who probably lives in a $3 million home with her parents or whatever. Her daddy probably bought her whatever. So I'm sure she didn't buy her own car. So here we go. This is the way she's reacting. And this hysteria is brought about by the way the left gets their people all drummed up over this stuff. And makes them feel like they have to defeat the fascist. Oh, just the whole emotional side of there are people out there who are unhinged, folks. And the media is doing their part in feeding that frenzy. They're losing traction now, because a lot of the people who have normal common sense and sanity, they're starting to kind of connect the dots here and say, we've been told this for how many? And tomorrow, one of the things I'm going to talk about tomorrow is all the lies that they've been telling us for all this time. It's another thing. Topical too. What was the other thing? I can't remember what the other thing was I was going to talk about. But one of the main things is the lies. I've got a list of lies. What was the other thing? I just talked about it a bit ago. I can't remember what it was. I'll go back and check my notes to see what I'm going to talk about tomorrow. There's two main topics for tomorrow, and I try to have three. I'll try to have another topic yet on top of this, but we'll see what happens. But as we get into the day here, and the plan is to have a Wednesday live show. That's the plan. And I might even have it on video. That's the other plan. I do have a couple cameras now that I can actually take on the road with me and actually record a show. And I think I've got the right cable now that I can actually plug into it and make a live show out of it without having it just at the computer, so I can have a regular camera that also has good audio with it. So that's the plan. We'll see if this all pans out, how it all pans out. See if we can make it work. So anyway, I'm going to play this because this is you got to hear this. This is just the unhingedness of this whole thing is quite stunning. So we'll just go with this.
What the did Aaron Pardes just report
Aaron Pardes,
that Kilmar Abrego Garcia is coming home?
Oh my goodness, he's going to cry.
Donald hasn't had a win since November! Donald hasn't had a win since November! You son of a bitches! Oh my god, and all the haters that kept saying he's not coming home. Donald is a loser!
Yeah, she's not a hater. Oh obviously, god, she doesn't hate Donald Trump.
I'm so... Holy... I'm so happy! Oh my god! The resistance!
Okay, she goes on with this for a while. And all I can say is... This is weird. First of all, who thinks about turning on their camera to have this kind of reaction to kind of share? It's just weird. It's just weird. Weird. Whatever. She is so emotionally thrilled over this one guy that got brought back because Donald Trump lost. Now, we're going to get into this because obviously, if you're listening to this show, you probably know. Maybe you don't know what actually is happening here. I'll be the first to tell you then, because I'm going to tell you. Just to wait. I'm going to tell you. Stand by. Here I come. A grand jury has indicted him on all kinds of charges, mostly trafficking, human trafficking, his gang activity, basically drug activity, drug trafficking, and human. I'm not positive on all that. You have to look it up for yourself, or I'll find the list of things. But Pam Bondi came out basically and said a grand jury has indicted him on these charges. Not President Trump, not Pam Bondi even. It was a grand jury that convened on this guy, and they have found that there's adequate evidence. Plus the fact that he's a member of a gang that is considered to be a terrorist organization. So the whole thing now is what's going to happen here is this guy's going to come back. He's going to face trial, and then he's going to be found and convicted, and all this stuff's going to happen to him, and they're going to be the ones left holding. Well, that's the way it's supposed to work. All we wanted for him was to have due process. Well, great for you, because now he's going back for a lot longer. And any country you send him to, this one lawyer that I was listening to said that his lawyers really messed up because they were trying to get him to just come back here. Okay, so we'll bring him back here, but now he's going to face charges. They should have been working on him down there in El Salvador to get him released from El Salvador, just to be released, or having deported to some other country. This lawyer said he could be right now, today, he could be a free man walking around in another country, free. Of course, he would probably try to sneak back across the border. Or he could try to get his family out. They wanted to be with him so bad. He means the world to me. I don't want him to leave me, but I'm not going to go where he is. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to stay here in America because I love America more than I love him. But the problem is they just demanded that he come back here. Okay, well, you come back here, but you're going to face a grand jury. It's the only way we can get you back here. So now he's going to probably go back to El Salvador and be in a prison for longer than he would have been. It is really a blunder. And of course, now all these Democrats who were sticking up with him for him going down there having, what were they having, Mai Tais or whatever they having on sipping margaritas or whatever they were doing, making this guy out to be a hero, making him out to be the martyr, how evil Donald Trump is. And now we're going to prove that this guy was a bad guy. And they're going to blame it on, this is a kangaroo court. I'm sure they're going to have all kinds of things to say about it. But of course, now they're saying, well, nobody ever said he was, that he should have, that he wasn't a criminal. Oh, my word. They're all trying to distance themselves from this guy now. Of course, they had the big victory party. Then they realized, oh, he's coming back because he's a criminal. He's facing charges. He's facing all this stuff. Pretty bad stuff. Oh, but I think it was several abuse charges on, by the way. Battery, all kinds of stuff. So he's got to face all that stuff. Oh, my words. That's going to change things a little bit. Now, along with this violent stuff that's been going on, I've got to talk about the LA riots. Got to talk about the National Guard, this whole thing. The left is blowing it all out of whack. It is absolutely incredibly insane. First of all, you've got a mayor who has openly spoken out against law enforcement. They've tried to reduce law enforcement in LA. They tried to do all this stuff. What's happened is there is a hotbed, because you got a sanctuary city. There's a hotbed of illegal immigrants in the city of LA. Now, what has happened here is they started to form their own communities. They have actually formed their own little, what do I say? It's almost like a hive mind type mentality. The problem with this, and this, I saw this happening way back in the 70s and 80s here in this particular county. What happened is you'd have one person who would come here legally. That person would then take advantage of workers who wanted to come up here, people who wanted to come up here from Mexico and live up here. That person who came legally would start a business. And they would have their family members come up illegally, or anybody that they knew would come up illegally. Well, now they're an underclass. They can't just go anywhere. And of course, they can't speak very good English, so they're not going to just walk up and fill out a job application, get a job at Lowe's or whatever they're going to. These individuals would, in my opinion, take advantage of them. Of course, they thought they were helping them out. They were helping themselves out. That's what they were doing. They would start a business that would basically be run on cash. They'd pay their employees cash. And of course, they couldn't just rent a house anywhere either. So guess what? There would be three or four or five families living in one house, one apartment. And a lot of times their employer would rent that apartment for them. And they would just work for that. It was somewhere between slavery and an indentured servant, somewhere between there. Because they come here, they're kind of trapped. They have no means to support themselves. So they get stuck in this situation where they have to work for somebody. And then they get a housing. And the only thing they get is about enough money for food. Because, he's providing them for housing. So what more do you want? But they're still better off than they would be where they were. So they're that's what would happen. Of course, now some of them would buy a car. They'd start, save up some money, buy a car. Or they'd find a car somewhere. And they'd start driving around and they wouldn't have a license. So we ran into that problem a lot. Ran into that problem a lot around here where, of course, they would usually not stick around if an accident happened. But they would drive very carefully. And occasionally there was an accident. One fellow got killed. Very badly. This guy was drunk one night, went through a stop sign, killed a young man going home from work. I think he had a 2-year-old daughter. Just ran the stop sign, guy never saw it coming. He didn't have a stop sign on his side, and there was just a very, very bad accident there. Happened one night. And of course, they come to find out, the guy was here illegally, didn't have a license. He had been drinking and ran the stop sign. He'd probably done it 100 times. And, you know, end up killing this guy. It was a very horrific crash, very bad crash. This was back in the probably mid-90s, the way I remember it. I believe I was married at the time. So it had to have been mid-90s. Very sad, very sad situation. Well, this kind of thing was happening all the time. So that's what happens with this kind of stuff. So you form these little communities within the community. So they're kind of this little closed knit community where they can get along because they can speak Spanish. They don't have to learn English. Now their kids will be sent off to school. They show up. They get free school. They just go to school. They show up, and they have to deal with it. That was kind of the rule at that time. I don't know if it's how it is now, but I think it still is that way. Kids show up for school. You got to teach them. Somehow you got to get registered or whatever they got to do. It's an unaccompanied minor situation or whatever it is. I don't know how that works. We had to deal with all that kind of stuff as well here around here. So it was just one thing after another. But these people come into the community. Well, that was happening on large scale in LA. There was this huge amount of, they would take over buildings or lease a building somewhere. Somebody who was here legally would have the opportunity or ability to lease a building, even if it was just somebody leasing a building to an illegal immigrant. If they pay him cash, oh yeah, I've got this empty building. You guys want to pay me, $1,000 a week, you can use the building. So they would turn it into a nightclub. And of course, it was a place where all the illegals could hang out, do their thing, and not have to be worried about anything. So it was kind of their own little culture within the. This happens a lot in big cities, especially. It was in LA. It was in Orange County. It was a big deal there. So they're going in and busting all these places up. There's a lot of criminals there, a lot of criminal activity going on, and the feds are going in and looking for particular individuals. But if ICE finds you. In one case, the DEA went in, and they can't tell the difference between the DEA and the left can't tell the difference between. So now these leftist activists, which are usually not from the community. Here's what ends up happening: is you find out that they're starting to bust up. There's pictures of these guys, video of these guys taking hammers and breaking up cement stuff posts stuff in the community, just breaking it, busting it up. So they have rocks and pieces of cement to throw at the cars and for their riots because they're protesting. And this is the way you protest something. That's not protesting. That's not constitutional protesting there. That's not peaceful protesting when you're destroying property, especially government property. More damage was done, I guarantee you, in one night in LA than any amount of damage that was done on January 6th. Of course, I think that they made it sound like there was over $1 million worth of damage on January 6th. That was just baloney. They went through and every scratch on the Capitol building probably was, oh, they scratched this. How'd they get up there? Well, I don't know, but they scratched that. We got to fix that. It's going to cost $100,000. You never know. So they just go, of course, then all of a sudden these bricks started showing up. Just in the middle of the street. Somebody came in with a forklift and bunch of cinder blocks. Oh, look at there. A couple pallets full of cinder blocks there. How convenient that they're just sitting there in the street. And they start using those to make little barricades and blockades for the road, which, first of all, these kinds of protests always are so, so well accepted by the public and they just do so much good. You're winning hearts and minds by doing this kind of thing. I think that they're just brilliant for doing such a thing because it just seems like such a good idea because they really are so effective. Not. What What are they thinking? This kind of thing never changes anything. And people on the right, of course, know this. That's why you don't see them out on the streets doing all the crazy, wacky stuff. If the right ever goes to takes to the streets, it's going to be over. I mean, we're this, you know, if you get us to that point, it's not going to last long. It's not going to be a bunch of bottle throwing, name calling, and we're not going to destroy the community. That's not where we're going. To me, it seems very strange. In fact, this kind of goes off into a side story, but it's very strange for people in their community to go. I would not even think of going downtown and start tearing down all the stuff that's in the community. The buildings, the parking areas, the whatever it is that's down, the bench, park benches, whatever it is that's down. My tax dollars paid for that stuff. I don't want to have to pay for it again. I don't understand how people can tear down their communities. But this actually happens. This is like I wish I could find there was a pastor, Reverend, who was interviewed recently. There was like a CVS or something was moving everything out of this. I think it's Chicago. It might be Chicago. They're moving all the stores out of the town. No more. They're not going to have any more in the town. Stores aren't going to be there anymore. And of course, this reverend steps up and is saying that, well, how are people going to get their medicines? And how this is just nothing. But he's calling them racist. He's saying, oh, they're just being racist because there's too many black people here, and that's what's happening here. Is this, you know, this is disgusting. How are we going to get our medicines and stuff? And how is this going to work? This is just discrimination. These people are racist. They're pulling out of here. No, I'm sure that your money and everybody else's money is just as good for them as it. They're pulling out because they can't afford to be there anymore. Because they can't lock everything up in the store. The problem isn't that you're black. The problem is that people are stealing their stuff. They moved there. There's about as many people there that were black when they moved in as there when they first put the store in. They want to sell their products. I don't care what color you are. The problem is there's too much theft, too much violence, too much stuff going on. They just simply can't do business like that. So they're pulling them out. It's not when you're losing money. This happened to a store here, right here in my hometown. People would walk in and they would steal things. And if you caught them, this one lady that was the manager there, it was a wife of a friend of mine. I taught this guy how to fly. And his wife was the manager, a little grocery store downtown here. And they would get mad at her, almost to the point of being violent. Like they would yell and scream at her if she caught them trying to steal something. They would throw a fit. How dare you? How dare you? And it was, they blamed her. And of course, this is back when they had the actual food stamp thing. They would, you know, I think they still had a card or whatever they had. They didn't call it a SNAP program. What are they called? Back then, this was back in the 80s. Oh, I'm sorry, it was back in the early 90s, probably 91, 92. So whatever the program was then, back then. But it was just, that's the way it was. They would come in. I think you had to do some kind of deal where you could buy something. I think there was restrictions on what you could purchase at that time with the food stamp money. So you could go in, and what they would do is they'd go in and buy something, and they would spend, like you get this like credit card type thing. So you'd spend the money or the food stamp or whatever it was. It was like a coupon. You come in, you buy a pack of gum or whatever it was for 29 cents, and you get your change back, and it was like $10. And then with that $10 of change, you get cash back. Well, then you take that cash and you go over and you buy liquor or whatever it was that you're going to buy that you weren't allowed to buy. with the food stamps. I think that's what it was. It was you could buy pretty much anything, so they'd buy something small so they get their cash back. So of course, now with the debit card deal, you can't do that. Not that I know of, unless you can get cash back from those. I'm not sure we can. I don't know if we can. So it's just crazy stuff like that would happen all the time. And so they've always been kind of pushing that system a lot. But that's kind of down the wrong path. So we have this, the issue here is that we have this, you know, ICE is going in. They're busting up these events. They're busting up this stuff. And what ends up happening is they're mobilizing the resistance is mobilizing, and they're going after ICE agents. Of course, now the problem is they can't tell the difference between an ICE agent, a TA agent, or just local police, whatever it is. Autonomous cars. Tell where my mind is. They're just going out there and destroying things, catching them on fire. When I start seeing police cars on fire, when I start seeing, you know, cars just inadvertently, just randomly, just whatever car being destroyed. They're literally, as these officers were driving through the city, they're literally just standing there throwing rocks. And I'm not talking little rocks. We're talking massive chunks of concrete that they're throwing at these cars. That's assault with a deadly weapon. That is definitely serious. You could kill somebody with that. A moving car and you're throwing rocks at it. Apparently, somebody didn't beat their butt when they were a kid when they tried to do that at home. So I once in a while, I'll see a little kid standing out in the yard. You know, I see like some little 3-year-old. He's out there. He's throwing a rock at a car going by. And typically, at least when I was a kid, and I know when I see kids doing that and the parents catch them, there's usually a woodshed moment there. You do not do that. Apparently, these kids were never beat properly when they were kids, when they tried to do that. The problem is they know full well what they're doing. These kids are, they're not just kids, they're adults. They're doing this knowingly what they're doing, and they think that they're part of resistance. They're fighting back against the fascism. Fighting back against the man. This is Donald Trump's fault. These people come to the country illegally. They need to be gotten out. Period. There's no warrant. You don't need a warrant. You're here illegally. That is due process. Due process is you are removed. That's your due process. If you claim asylum, fine. You go out. You can come back for your court date. How's that? You can come back anytime you want to for your court date about asylum, because you should have done it the right way, gone to the first place you could at a consulate, at an embassy, and applied for asylum. You know, go through three different countries or fly in from somewhere and then apply for asylum when you get here. Besides the fact that they're breaking the law while they're here anyway, it's just breaking all kinds of rules. Laws, everything. Oh, it's just misdemeanors. Well, okay, yeah. Is that against the law? Yeah, well, yeah. Well, then, you're breaking the law. You're a criminal. Well, not a hard criminal. It's not a felony. Slapping you in the face isn't a felony, apparently. We'll see how you feel about that. I'm not going to do it, of course, but because I'm not a violent man. We have all that going on. So now they're of course they're this is the latest thing in the news cycle, because the whole Trump Elon, you know, oligarchy, could afford the oligarchy. All of a sudden, we find out that apparently Elon Musk is not running the White House because Donald Trump's there and Elon Musk is not. And Elon Musk has thrown a little temper tantrum, which kind of shows who he is, a little bit more about who he is. And it's not looking pretty for him. Now he realizes it. Well, so first of all, you've ostracized yourself from the Democrats. Of course, now they want you back because, you know, they want his money. So they were all, Chuck Schumer was like, oh, yeah, we'll take you back. Oh, yeah, well, what do we, no, see, I agree with Elon Musk. So Musk's problem was they weren't cutting enough. Schumer's problem was they wanted to spend more. So they agree that the bill is bad because, so that just tells me that the bill's probably just got, if you look at it for what it is and you understand the philosophy behind what they're doing, I don't like it. And I don't think Trump loves it. He's calling it a big, beautiful bill, but it's a stepping stone to get us where we need to go. Is this what it amounts to? And unfortunately, we're in a situation where you got to get this ship turned around, and the only way to do that is to get this through there, so that the map, the navigation of where we're going to go, will work. Otherwise, you just can't. You know, you just have to cut your losses and move on. And this is a typical business tactic. Actually, is you just have to sometimes you just have to bite the bullet and do something. And I on our trip out to Virginia, for instance, we have a car with about 230,000 miles on it. Well, it gave up the ghost on us about 2 hours into the trip, and we got to about to where Toledo is, and. I thought for sure it was the ignition coil, one of the cylinders. Because even when I put the scanner on it, it was showing that number three cylinder ignition coil was bad. I was misfiring on that one, so I changed it. Still running rough. So I looked at it again. I was like, oh, it looks like number two is actually also having problems. So I changed that one. Of course, the auto parts store only had one, so we had to go to another auto parts store that was 20 minutes away. So we're chugging along, getting over there. And, of course, we get there. I just decided to get all, you know, change all of them. This place had three. I had four of them, so I bought all, three of them and changed them all. Got them all changed. Boom. Still ran poor. So, okay, what is going on here? Now I was showing multiple cylinders misfiring. Thought, okay, there's something bigger going on. Come to find out, right back over where we were at the first place, there was a Volvo service station. Of course, now it's getting close to closing time. This is on Thursday. And I said, let's just run over there, see if we can get a quick analysis on what's going on with this thing. So we ran over there. They didn't have time to get it in. Did talk to him. So we had to leave the car there, and we rented a car. We were going to do an analysis on it the next day, see if we could figure out what was going on. Sure enough, there is no compression in one of the cylinders, and the other cylinder has half the compression, and probably the other two are about ready to go out as well. So I'm not, you know, it's... typical valve issue on that particular engine, so many miles, depending on how it's been run, the valves tend to burn out on the, exhaust valves tend to burn out on it's a four cylinder. So the two inside cylinders. So that's what was going on. That's my assessment. He didn't want to tell me what it was. It actually was without taking the engine apart to know what was going on, but I'm pretty sure that's the issue. So, in other words, it's the valves. But long story short, engine needs to be replaced. So he got me a price on that. Found an engine for it that's a used engine, but it's only got 30,000 miles on it. It's barely broke in. So I was like, you know, we could spend the money on this, get it done, or we could just buy another car for that same amount of money that's got more miles on it. That's a decent car. They did a full inspection on the rest of the car, and he said, you know, it's probably worth putting the money into as far as, because they'd be willing to sell us a car too. There wouldn't be anything, one way or the other, they're going to probably do business with us. So we ended up, I ended up pushing the button on that, pulling the trigger and saying, basically, let's go ahead and do it. Of course, it's going to be a couple of weeks before that's done. But sometimes you just have to cut your losses. You just have to spend the money. You have to bite the bullet. Okay, we're just going to have to spend the money on this. Either way, there's not really a win-win situation. We've gotten our value out of that car. Okay, I paid less for that car than it's going to cost for the engine. Let's just put it that way. And we've put about 100,000 miles on it, I think, something like that. So when you look at it that way, I think we've had it for about 5 years. We bought it pre-COVID, and it's been a good car. It's had a couple issues, but it's been a pretty decent car. It gets very good gas mileage compared to most of our cars. And it's a Volvo, of course. So So anyway, that's what's happening here is this, you know, they need to get us from point A to point B. And apparently, you know, now you have to understand, you put yourself in Elon Musk's shoes. He always gets what he wants because he kind of runs the show. He's the big man on campus. He usually gets what he wants. Well, in this case, he didn't get what he wanted. And he's throwing a little bit of a temper tantrum here, and he's throwing some things out there that, in my opinion, I don't think you're ever going to see Elon Musk back in the White House parading around with his kids, with his kid, whatever, acting a little chummy with the president. I don't think it's going to happen again. If I was the president, I would say, you know what, we can get along, we can do business, but it's not going to be like it was. This is you've jumped the shark here on the whole issue of insinuating that he had something to do with Jeffrey Epstein. Personally, I don't believe that. And Trump does show up in the Epstein files. He flew on his plane once, but not to the island. Epstein had him picked up and taken somewhere. He said, "Jerry, just use my plane. You can go here." This is back in the early days when Trump was just met the guy. And the one thing you'll find out is that Trump banned him from Mar-a-Lago because he found out about the crap he's been. He just thought he was a shady character. Said, "No, you're not coming." Well, actually, the excuse he gave was there was a young girl there, apparently a teenager, that Epstein was hitting on. And apparently Trump said, "That's not going to happen here. You're never coming back here." And that was the end of that. That's why he's in the files. Well, the Dems don't want that to come out because, and this has been going on. And like many people have said before me, and this is the first time you've heard this. If the Dems knew that, because they were in charge, they had the files. I guarantee you Merrick Garland knows who's on those lists. If they would have had something on Donald Trump, they would have used it. They would have used it 8 years ago. They would have used it 20 years ago. They would have come up with something to destroy him before the election. They would have done it. And of course, they knew that wasn't the case. In my opinion, the reason those things haven't been released is because there's something on those Epstein files that either implicates a country or it implicates a particular individual from the royal family. Let's just say I have my suspicions about a few different things, but those two things are the main things. It would either hurt relationships with a particular country that is currently in a war. That narrows it down to two different countries. Or it has something to do with someone in the royal family. I think, you know, if you have any awareness of what's going on there, you might have some clue as to who that person might be. So I think they're waiting for something to happen before they can actually share those things. And I just think that's kind of why things are being dragged out. Now, that's my opinion. I don't know. I have no inside information. The way things are being handled and the way things, what I have heard that are, you know, people that have been involved in the whole thing. There are some very powerful people with some very touchy situations, some of that stuff. Now, that being said, apparently Elon Musk now has come back because Donald Trump basically has very, in my opinion, he was very gracious in his response to the reporters asking him about Elon Musk and saying that, you know, are you going to take back the golden key that you gave him or whatever, silver key or whatever it was they gave him, the key to the White House for his service and stuff. Now, you got to think about it. Elon Musk, his company lost value. I mean, the left has attacked him so badly. They've asked him to leave as the CEO and the company. So the way they've tried to destroy Tesla is unbelievable. I mean, he took a beating for that whole thing. And literally, I mean, I understand he's got a black eye. Of course, that was the whole thing with, I guess the black eye happened because he got into a tussle with somebody at a, one of the, I don't know if it's a congressman or senator, they're trying to get to a door, trying to do something, whatever, and he got real pushy with the guy and ended up being a little bit of a scuffle, got himself a black eye. But he, so he has this tendency to be, and of course now he does have, I guess he's autistic or something, I guess he has some kind of issue, high functioning autism or whatever it is. So he does have some social skill issues. And it's obvious when you see him talk. I mean, he's kind of awkward. But it's interesting that he gets this way. So then he lashes out with all this stuff. And you can't have that kind of instability, you know, being closely. But I think what the Dems are ticked off about now is the fact that, well, obviously they were wrong about Elon Musk running the show. And there's this, all of a sudden this oligarch that they thought was in charge, Trump has booted him out, basically just said, well, it's his problem. He has to deal with it. He's done. And of course, they don't talk about the fact that they think that he was fired. He wasn't fired. He was a temporary worker. He could work for 130 days or whatever, 134, whatever the number is. So he did that, and now he's done. So but now Doge continues to go on. That agency was in existence, by the way, before Donald Trump took office, and they just changed the name. So that agency is going to continue on. In fact, some of the people that started there are going to stay on it. Some of the people that Musk brought on are going to stay there and continue to work on there because they have now been considered full employees. Because they can do that. One of the reasons that Elon Musk was a temporary employee is because if you're temporary, you don't have to disclose all of your personal information, which is he didn't want to go through a whole full audit of all of his stuff and divest himself of all of the. If you're a full employee of the administration, you have to divest yourself of all of your personal stuff and your company. You can't be part of companies and all that. Donald Trump had to do that. He had to turn everything over to his kids. So that's one of the things that you do. Well, Elon Musk obviously isn't going to do that. SpaceX and everything else, he's not going to just write himself out of those things. But some of his employees were not in that situation. They were fine. They can still continue on. They can go through their audit. They can do all this stuff and maintain, stay on there. He's not the head of any agencies, so they're his employees. They're just working for the agency. I don't know who's going to take over Doge, but it'll be interesting to see what happens with all that because it's going to continue on. They're just getting started. So the question is Congress going to step up to bat and actually make things permanent? That's going to be the big question. So that's where we are today. But the whole point of it is, you know, basically you have – some people have equated it to, okay, Donald Trump is the most powerful man in the world. Elon Musk is the richest man in the world. They just have a clash. Now, they're both extremely type A. We're talking triple A, you know, personalities. Of course, they're going to clash. But the problem was just that they did all this, you know, out in public. But you know what? I'm okay with that. Some people are really upset about this whole thing. And I think it looks bad on the administration. I think it just shows that there's just a whole lot of transparency here. You know, Trump is answering questions about it. He's been asked questions on Air Force One. He's been asked questions all over the place about the whole thing. And he's just telling it like it is. We never got that from the last administration. Joe Biden would go 2 weeks and nobody ever talked to the guy. It's just every day this guy's talking to the press. It's for hours sometimes. They're totally accessible. And I think that's, of course, that opens them up to a lot of scrutiny, but I'm okay with that. And they're okay with that, I think. It's like they'll fight back on that. They'll push back. They're fine. It's good for everybody, in my opinion, to have that kind of discord. It may look confusing. It may look chaotic, whatever it looks like. But you know what? At the end of the day, everybody knows what's going on until you get the media in there starting to twist their knife and feeling like they've got to be meddling and everything and making stuff up and making all this and then accusing the other side of disinformation and misinformation. Disinformation, by the way, is intentionally saying something wrong. Misinformation is just you get the story wrong. Disinformation is when you intentionally make it wrong. And I think that's not sometimes distinguished enough, because a lot of times the leftist media does actually work on how they're going to spin a story, which is disinformation. It's willfully and knowingly spinning a story, saying something wrong, or twisting the truth. That's disinformation. Just getting the story wrong is just, well, we were informed wrong, or our sources were wrong, or we misinterpreted something. And they gave a retraction, and they apologize. Disinformation, they just move on. They just keep on going. They leave it out there, leave it hanging, and they never come back and correct it. Or if they do, it's because they have a lawsuit against them. That's the only reason they'll do it. Yeah. So let's move onward. One more story we'll talk about real quick. Mishmash on the Monday. Greta Thunberg. Now, I want to play some audio sometime this week about her little escapades and everything she does. I want to talk about the way she talks. Now, keep in mind, she's in her 20s. I think she's like 22 years old now, at least. They still dress her and make her look on camera like she's some 13-year-old girl, because they have to keep her doing that. They have to keep her in this little, little girl world, so she can look, sweet and innocent. She's going to sail a ship. She's on an armada. She's on the Madeleine. This armada of boats, which I think there was two. She made it sound like there's this whole bunch of boats going there, and apparently there was only one or two. I don't know. There's only showed the one. I never saw any other boats going. Might have been three. I don't know. I have no idea. They never talked about the other boats very much, so I don't know how many there were. But there were sailboats, of course, trying to sail. And of course, as they were going through Greece, apparently it was a Greek drone. It was apparently flying over. They got scared. They got all terrified, thinking they're all going to be shot, something. But they were terrified. They all had their life jackets on. They were down inside the hull, hoping that they would all be okay. A whole bunch of people on this boat, by the way. I think it was overloaded, in my opinion. But they all had life jackets. They got boarded supposedly by the Israelis. She says it really sneakily, the way she says it. She says that the Israeli government stopped them and kidnapped them. No, you're going into a war zone. They're stopping it. It's a blockade. They won't allow any support. No, that's not the case. Israel still to this day is trucking food and supplies into Gaza every day. I think it's four truckloads a day they're sending in. The problem is that Hamas keeps coming in and just randomly shooting people coming at not shooting the Israelis and not shooting the truck drivers. They're shooting the people trying to get the food. Hamas is taking the food away from the people who are just living there. This is what's happening here. It's of course, and Hamas is trying to hide all this food that's coming in. And some of the people there have found it. Some of the warehouses they've broken in, got some of the food out. It is absolutely, they're not, it's a pathetic situation. And it's just, Hamas is they're just a bunch of no good people. They're just out for themselves, trying to do political stuff that's trying to manipulate everything and use the people as human shields. That's basically what amounts to at the end of the day. So just continue to pray for the people who are there, the innocent souls who are just trying to survive at this point. It's just a talk about chaos and craziness. Nonetheless, Greta's little effort to provide solidarity and love and solidarity. Solidarity of something. They wrote this little song, The Support of Solidarity, whatever it is. I don't know. Anyway, they weren't going to survive. If they had got to the shore, that would have been a very bad situation, in my opinion. But I don't know. That's crazy. So there we are. Top of the week. We'll see you the rest of the week. God bless, folks. Have a great rest of your week. I'll be back tomorrow, hopefully. Lord willing, and freaking tomorrow.
See ya.